Dermot and Dave.
Conversation, crack,
and the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Today FM.
Dermot and Dave's Ask Me Anything on Today FM.
Introduce yourself.
Oisín Langan, I'm a sports commentator. Today FM, Ask Me Anything.
I want to start off with a personal question rather than one from the listeners because I'm greedy like that, which is there anything about sports commentary that is one of the key elements of it that you think the public don't understand or don't realise, or we as we listen to it have no idea that you're doing this?
Sometimes on TV you're not seeing what the viewer is seeing. So they might see a close-in shot of a player on the far side of a pitch,
right,
under lights, and you're not actually seeing that. Your view is actually worse. Now, sometimes you'll have a monitor and you'll see what they can see, and that's fine. But sometimes you won't. And sometimes teams have a stripe through their jersey and they've got small numbers or badly coloured numbers. Right. And that can make things very, very difficult. Okay. So, I mean, not to give away tricks of the trade here, but if you say something like, they have it on the far side, but you don't identify the player, if you hear a commentator saying that, he or she possibly can't actually tell you who the player is. Yes.
And are there binoculars involved at any point?
You'd be too slow.
Right.
I'd be too slow anyway. I've seen some commentators with them, and maybe sometimes for rugby you might get away with it because when the ball is going into the scrum or whatever, it's a bit slower. If it's a line out,
sure,
you know, you have the time. But for football, hurling, soccer, no, it just moves too quickly and you couldn't possibly do that.
You just end up feeling drunk as you swished around the stadium.
You just hit them into your eye constantly. Yeah,
totally.
Karen Tubber Curry asks, who is your idol? Who is the commentator you remember from growing up?
Micheál Ó Maoirthig. A very obvious answer, but it's obvious because he was amazing. Mm. And to talk to him still, and I'm lucky enough that I've spoken to him fairly regularly over the years. His voice, first of all, is like chocolate. It's very comforting.
Yeah.
He could say anything and you'd want to listen to him. He just happened to commentate on sport. The way he would describe things and the little droplets of information he'd put in there. And you have to keep in mind as well, this was before Google, so he really had to work hard to get this information.
Yeah.
He was like Columbo going around asking questions. Micheál was the king of letting you know the time, the score, where the ball was, but also doing it in a very entertaining way. And the biggest compliment you could give to Micheál is the amount of Micheál impersonators there are out there.
Yeah.
Drive around the country every weekend and flick around the radio stations and you'll hear many, many commentators. I was going to say hundreds, but that's an exaggeration. Not that we do that in commentary. You'll hear many, many Micheál impersonators, people who think this is the only way to do it. And I don't blame them for that because he, you know, to me was the best and he is an icon and he is a legend. But you have to establish your own style and you have to have the confidence to do that. But some people don't. They just think this is the template. This is how I'm going to do it. And they just kind of sound like a bit of a photocopy and the photocopy is never as good.
Yeah, well, talk about the confidence building and all that because, I mean, there's lots of questions in about this, but Kenneth Lockray on Twitter wants to know, how much time do you spend prepping a game?
It depends on the game. So if you know the teams fairly well, you won't need to put as much time in. For example, this weekend on Saturday, I'm doing Larne against Cliftonville for BBC Northern Ireland. Stop laughing.
You don't know anything about those games.
But I've seen those two teams relatively regularly.
Okay.
But I'll still put about 4 hours into researching the teams. And what I'll do there is I'll Google every single player, even though I've done it before this season. I'll update their stats. And then I'll just watch footage and whatever from the two teams. And even in the last couple of days when I've had free time, I've just Googled the teams to see if anything pops up.
And do you have notes? Like I've seen, say, for example, Gary Neville sometimes taking a picture of himself in Martin Tyler's place in the Premier League match. And Martin's notes are often just kind of visible off to the side. And you might zoom in and have a look. And he has his printed out notes and just pages of handwritten stuff. Are you that? Do you print? Do you just have it all in your mind? How do you bring the stuff to the actual game?
I print because I can't read my own writing. As some of you who follow me on Twitter may have seen some of the post-match notes that I put up. They're not done by me. They're done by Aoife, who is my girlfriend, but also loves sports. So she comes to the matches, does the stats. So she does all these fantastic notes. And then so during a game, you can look down and you want to be able to prove a point. It's a bit like college.
Right.
Don't write an opinion without being able to back it up. So if you say they're really struggling in front of goal, especially in GA where there's a lot of scores, you want to be able to say, well, it's been 8 minutes since they scored, so you can see that on the notes or whatever.
Okay. There's a great question, says, do you have a few one-liners prepared, like just in case something special happens? For example, a nation holds its breath.
No, because if you prepare them, they sound prepared.
Yeah.
And you can make an absolute bags of the delivery and you can't do it again. Like George Hamilton couldn't have said, here, hang on a second, nation, let me do that again.
Yeah.
You think about scenarios. You want to be able to deliver a killer line, but you don't want to force it.
Yeah.
Because if it's forced, it sounds forced. And if it's, and again, if you prepare it beforehand, you're really relying on something. You're hoping an exact specific scenario.
Yeah. That makes sense. Tony on Instagram wants to know, what's the hardest sport to commentate on? You mentioned the difference between television and radio and the fact that you need to talk more on radio, obviously, because there's no pictures. But what is the toughest one to comment? I mean, in my head, I would imagine hurling on radio has got to be so tough, but maybe it's not.
The toughest one is the one you don't know particularly well.
Okay.
I did tennis on television. I found it very difficult, which seems weird because obviously the players should be fairly easily identifiable and you shouldn't have to say a whole pile, but I don't know tennis that well. It was one of those ones where I was offered and I said, I probably should say no, but I'll go for it anyway. So that was difficult. Hurling on radio, I love doing. Right. I find that easy because I love it. And again, you probably know the teams fairly well anyway. So it's very descriptive and you find yourself absolutely knackered afterwards. And commentary tiredness is kind of the same as a long drive tiredness.
Right.
You know, when you get out of the car and you're like, well, I've been sitting for 3 hours. Why am I tired?
Yeah.
Because you're concentrating and your mind is focused and that can be quite tiring. But no, the sport you don't know or the teams you don't know, that's the hardest commentary.
Jason in Dublin 6 wants to know, what is your biggest clanger? Can you admit it? What did you make a terrible hames of?
There's so many things. A couple of weeks ago, actually, there was Thomas Davis were playing. And remember I was saying that sometimes the viewer can see things that you can't. A guy got a goal and he had a stripe through his jersey and the numbers are really small and I got the wrong name. And honestly, it kept me awake.
It haunts you.
And even last year in the championship, actually, Paddy McBrearty got this wondrous score for Donegal, a clutch score if ever there was one, and I called his name right, you know, gave the detail, the time is, the score is, this is what this means, all the stuff that you have to do. But we were coming back in the car and Aoife basically said, what's wrong with you, you're very quiet, and needless to say, as a commentator, when I go quiet, you know there's something wrong. And I said, I didn't make a big enough deal of that score, like,
right,
to me,
okay.
I explained where the shot was from and all that, but to me, I didn't make a big enough deal of it. And I was irritated with myself. I was, it still haunts me. Even now, it actually
I can tell.
Even now,
wow.
I'm gripping the desk quite hard.
Yeah. I don't know how you'd cope with any of our clangers over the years. I think you'd be in care if you beat yourself up that much.
Sean and Carlo wants to know, what is the one sporting event you would love to commentate on?
I've done an All-Ireland final in hurling. I haven't done one in football. Funnily enough, even though I don't particularly like American football, I'd love to do a Super Bowl, a Champions League final.
Yeah,
I'd love to do, or like a World Cup final or a European final, something like that.
Paddy in Port Leash wants to know, do you go to games as a spectator and then internally you're commentating on the game? Has it wrecked watching sports for you?
I internally commentate on everything now, not just games. Do you remember the Murray Walker ad where he's following Damon Hill around Pizza Hut?
Yes.
That's kind of me. I find it very hard not to commentate at matches, and you'll hear the mumble if you sit beside me. The rantings of a crazy person, but I can't not do it. And I sometimes I'll go to a match and if I'm not commentating, I'll really try hard not to commentate, because funnily enough, when you're commentating on a game, you get sucked into it. And then after the game, people are saying, oh, did you see X, Y, and Z? Or, you know, the way your man played. Sometimes you're nearly so invested in where the ball is, you kind of sometimes don't see what's around, because that's the co-commentator's job to set all that stuff out as well. Like I always say to my co-commentators at the start of a game, be it TV or radio, no one cares what I think about football or hurling or rugby or whatever the sport is. I'm only there to tell people who has the ball. You're there to outline the rest. So you kind of get sucked into the identification thing. So you nearly have to watch a game back to get what fully happened in it. But yes, to answer the question, I always break off into a commentary in my head and sometimes start mumbling, and it can be off-putting for whoever's sitting beside me. So, you know, I mean, the bad thing about COVID is, you know, pandemic. The good thing is that now people don't sit as close to each other, so no one has to listen to my rantings.
Yeah,
fair.
Well, to wrap this up, would you like to just bring a bit of commentator flair to just wrap up this event you've just been part of, how it went?
Okay, let's see. Who wants to be my co-com?
Oh, I'll try.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Dave watches enough Sky Sports to be able to handle this, I think.
Yeah, okay. How would we wrap this up? Okay, so... do I have a preset line? No, I don't. Okay, how do we wrap it up? And the whistle goes, the interview is over. Oisin is not sure he got everything that he wanted to say about himself in.
I just have to say, Oisin, I think this is absolutely incredible. This is the best interview I've ever been part of.
That's Gary Neville, might say.
Yes, with Torres burying an goal. Yeah. For a second there, I didn't know where you was. Is he commentating or? Yeah.
I thought it was a When Harry Met Sally moment we were having there.
Oisin Langan, yeah. Thank you very much for coming in. Cheers.
My pleasure.
Dermot and Dave's Ask Me Anything on Today FM.
Dermot and Dave, weekdays from 9 a.m. Today.